Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Can we be there?
Ah, we are here.
Just think of the time.
You don't have to do that. It is right here. It is right now.
Heart and love so strange. Said you never know.
How you doing, Brandon Stokely?
I'm doing great. What is going on with you?
What's happening? What were you doing yesterday?
Good to be back. You know, every now and then you need to take a day to yourself and just enjoy yourself, and that's what I did.
Yeah,
I
took a little Roby Day.
Yeah, dropped the Roby Day in there. You know, it's in the middle of the season, and it just felt like taking a Roby Day.
Love it. Love it.
So, just had some friends that were in town and hung out. Yeah, so just...
Anyone that we would know?
Maybe. Not sharing.
Okay.
But it was a good day.
It's always a big secret with you.
No, I just don't like to put people's business out there. And I don't know that if they want their business put out there.
Copy.
You know, so.
Copy.
I don't think they would care, but it's not, I mean, it's nothing. It's not like it's some famous people or anything.
Okay.
But it was a fun day, good day. It was great weather outside.
It's beautiful, man.
And enjoyed that and got out and It was a good day. How was the show yesterday? Y'all didn't wreck anything or drive listeners away at all, did y'all?
While I was gone
for the one day?
No, it was an addition by subtraction show, and, you know, we just plowed ahead and...
How was it? Good show
it was
yesterday?
Good. We had some fun conversations.
You and James?
Yeah, I did 2 hours with James, 1 hour talking to myself. It was great. It was great. A lot of good conversations, some of which I want to recycle back with you here.
Perfect.
And there's... You know, before we have so much to get to, but yesterday a lot of the shows were, and rightfully so, reacting to what we saw on Monday Night Football. And I'm curious what your takeaway was from the Kansas City Chiefs' absolute humbling of a really physical, talented Ravens team in their own backyard.
Yeah, that was impressive. Because Kansas City, you know, that second week against the Chargers, they didn't look very good, and they weren't firing on all cylinders. So it's like, do they have a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover here? They're kind of
going off through
the motions a little bit in that game, and they found a way to win it, obviously. But man, they were on it. They were on their game against Baltimore. And like you said, Baltimore's defense, look, they're very, very aggressive defense. You know, we talked about if you're an offense that is a good offense and that, executes well, and you got good players, and teams try to be aggressive like the Ravens do. Remember I told you on Monday, I said I always loved when teams were aggressive against us. It might have been last week when I was with the Indianapolis Colts and we had Peyton as our quarterback.
Yeah.
Loved teams being aggressive with us because that left one-on-one matchups, man-to-man matchups for you, and that's what you want, and that's what you saw with the Chiefs. Ravens, very, very aggressive, wanted to put pressure on Mahomes, and it just didn't work. Chiefs were impressive. Ravens, you know, offensively, they just didn't get it going, made too many mistakes. But I still think, I'm still not ready to sit here and crown Kansas City or think that Baltimore can't beat them.
Sure, sure.
But obviously, I think moving forward, when you win that game now, it's probably going to be the tiebreaker.
Right.
And so you'll have home field, and now the next time the game will be played in Kansas City if they face each other in the playoffs, which makes it tougher.
Yep.
But still, the Ravens can travel. Ravens, I think can beat Kansas City. I do feel like they can beat them in the playoffs.
I thought they were going to on Monday night.
I did too.
Especially after the first drive of the football game. I mean, it was blunt force trauma running the football. It was 11 plays, almost 70 yards, and they couldn't get it in the end zone. They kick a field goal. But I saw that. I said, this is going to be four quarters of smash mouth, run it down your throat football. And that never came to fruition. And you know, I heard Tyler say this a little bit, that did the Ravens, I'll ask you the question. Did the Ravens structure of who they are get exposed a little bit if they get down, if they have to play from behind, if they're not in an advantageous or even football game, does that style work?
Well, obviously it makes it difficult to come from behind. But I still think Lamar Jackson can make plays in the passing game. And certainly he can take off and run also. And we saw that there in the second half where he used his legs a little bit in the passing game. When he was dropping back to pass, nobody was open. Boom, next thing you know, he's got 20 yards like that. So obviously that's not who they are. That's not how they want to play. And it makes it more difficult for them when they fall behind like they did. But they fought back, and they had it.
The one-score game, I think.
One-score game, and didn't they have the ball, too, after a fourth-down stop, or was that another game I'm thinking of?
I think that was another game, because Kansas City, from what I remember, answered immediately.
That was the Saints game. The Saints got the stop, and then Taysom Hill gave it right back. That's the one I was
thinking against the Packers.
Yes. Yeah. But they did have it to a 7-point game there. The Ravens did, and just couldn't get a stop. That's what happened defensively. So, you know, it's one of those things where they hurt themselves. When you look at them and you look at how they play, and if they're turning the football over and you're playing a good team like that and you make a few mistakes, you saw a few mistakes there for them, defensively also, missed assignments, the Chiefs will make you pay, and they're too good of a football team to make mistakes like that if you're the Ravens and think you're going to win.
Lamar Jackson threw for 97 yards.
Ooh.
So 3.5 yards per pass.
Mm. It's not good.
No, it's not. And meanwhile, Mahomes threw for 385 and four touchdowns, didn't turn it over one time, and against the Ravens defense, didn't get sacked once. It was a brilliant performance by Kansas City.
It was.
And I thought a reminder game of just what this league is up against, and more specifically what the Broncos are up against here in the next handful of years. It's another cruel just moment of, you know, reminder.
Yeah.
Just how good these guys are and just how good that dude is.
Yes. They were on it, man. I mean, when they're on their game, they're tough. We've seen it. We've seen it here up close and personal over the last couple of years. With those weapons, when they are firing on all cylinders, they're tough to beat. Broncos had them a couple times, you know, in the last couple of years on the ropes, not last year, but the year before.
Yeah.
And it just, we haven't been able to finish them off. But certainly, they're going to be tough to deal with. And it just seems like, you know, when you watched that game, that was like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, they just were, everything that they were doing was working perfectly. Coaches dialing things up, the game plan, everything was spot on. And then Mahomes and those guys were just making plays. And the defense played well.
The defense did play well. This time last year, we were talking about how bad that defense was.
Yes.
That turned into a Super Bowl defense.
Yes.
And my, you know, unprompted, my brother's texting me on Monday night, like, this KC defense is for real. And it's hard to argue. They were terrific. Flat out terrific. Great game plan. And I said this, you know, and unfortunately, you know, the contrast, Stoke, day over day of watching the Denver Broncos offense and then the next night watching Kansas City.
Yeah.
It's just a galaxy away. And, you know, I was not overly impressed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this past weekend. Like, I just wasn't. I know they were the far better team than the Broncos, but it wasn't like what I saw from Tampa was like what I saw from Kansas City. Tampa, especially in the first half, they they're kind of offensively still kind of sluggish. They scored 5 total points in the second half, the Bucs against the Broncos. If it was Kansas City playing the Broncos on Sunday, they could have scored 60.
Yeah, well, you know, you look at Tampa, and it's going to take time for those guys. It doesn't just happen, you know. I don't care who you are. Tom Brady, it doesn't matter. You don't just come in with no offseason and expect to go out there on Sundays and look like a well-oiled machine. It's just, and I think you can relate that to the Broncos and their struggles. And obviously, we don't see Drew Locke right now, but it was going to be tough on the Broncos. Look at Tampa Bay. Now, I mean, they did do some good things, but they got a lot of really good players. They got veteran players. They got a, you know, great quarterback, and they're still having some issues with consistency. So what do you think the Broncos are going to do? It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough sledding, and now you have no quarterback.
Oh, we got a quarterback.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, we got a quarterback.
Who's that?
Vic announced them yesterday.
I heard.
And I'll tell you what, man, and I know we have some fun with this, right? We got to find ways to have fun with this. But when you announce the quarterback and get his name wrong, I mean, it feels like only here. You had John Elway introducing Case Keesum, and we have Vic announcing the starter yesterday, and this is what it sounded like.
Yeah, we're going to start, Brett.
Now, here's a question I didn't ask yesterday, and I'm being dead serious. You think that's Vic's way of joking around?
No, come on. I don't think so. I mean, would you really joke around about naming your starting quarterback? To me, that's silly, and that would be. It's not time to joke around.
Right,
this isn't
right.
a joke around time.
You're 0-3 and playing your fourth quarterback.
Yeah,
on
exactly.
Season.
You're 0-3. You're starting your.
I guess it'd be third.
Third.
Right?
Yeah. You're starting your third quarterback of the season in your fourth game. It's not time to really make light of it and make a joke about it.
Okay.
If he did that, I just think that. No, I don't feel that he did that.
I'm literally trying to find ways that I can take it easy on Vic.
Like, no, I know.
If he's like just joking around and trying to, you know, Mark, whoop, no, I meant Brett Rippon, because we all know Mark. He, right, won a Super Bowl, got it. But maybe like Vic just doesn't have a great sense of humor, and that was the way that it came out. I don't know. Because if you actually got his name wrong, he's been in the building with you for 2 years. I mean, that stinks.
But it happens.
Whatever.
It happens.
Whatever.
Yeah. So I don't think he was trying to make light of it or make a joke about it. I just think he just messed up. Look, hey, it happens.
Cool.
It happens.
No worries. We mess up all the time on this show, so.
You do. Yes, you do.
When you talk as much as Vic has to talk or as we have to talk, there's going to be some errors.
And you make a few of them a day.
That's I do. Okay.
I try to pick up the slack.
Yeah. Yep. You do a great job.
Thank you.
You do a great job. That's
it. Look, I mean, obviously his uncle?
Yeah.
Is Mark Rippon his uncle?
Yeah.
You know, Super Bowl winning quarterback, right?
The Redskins.
Yeah. So look, he's famous and you hear Rippon, you just kind of throw Mark in there. And, even though you've been in the building with Vic for a couple of years now, you still, you know, have that slip up if you're Vic Fangio and you have flashbacks maybe when he was trying to dial up defenses to stop
sure,
Mark Rippon,
sure,
right?
Sure, sure. Okay.
But I mean, just overall, you know, getting his name wrong, whatever, I really don't care. I think this is the move that had to be made. We talked about it. I think we both agreed. This is what has to happen.
Yeah.
We've seen enough of Driscoll. They pulled the plug on him for a reason. He wasn't playing well enough, wasn't making decisions quick enough. So let's go ahead and take a look at Rippon. We have nothing to lose here.
How much do you think our stance on Jeff Driscoll gets validated by the Broncos themselves when they yank him out of the football game in his first game starting for the Broncos? Like, I don't know, and I'm not, like, this has been a bad stretch here for the Broncos. And I'm not like trying to spike the football here, but we said when this went down, this was the dumbest idea that they could think of. More than likely, your backup is going to have to play, whether it was a series, whether it was a three-game stretch, five of the last 6 years, your backup has had to play. It was a bad idea then. It was a bad idea now. And that only gets like emphasized when you literally don't even let him finish the football game in a game that's already decided.
Right.
Yanked him out of the game in his first time starting. That says it all. Jeff Driscoll will never play a down of Broncos football again, I don't believe.
I don't think so either. Why would you go back to him? What would be the scenario to go back? Unless, you know, Rippon gets hurt this week. I think they're going to at least give Rippon a full game to play.
Well, even so if he does get hurt, you got Bortles service.
Well, I know, but Bortles probably not going to be dressing out.
Okay.
Right? I mean, you know, it's a short week. He just got here last week. He's probably, you're going to have Driscoll as the backup quarterback this week.
Okay.
That's what I think the order of operations will be. And then the following week, now you'll have Bortles as the backup probably.
We talked about
it is Driscoll. It might be Bortles the following week against.
So that scenario.
Who do we have? The Patriots.
The Patriots.
Yeah.
If Drew Locke's not ready and Brett Rippon falls on his face, like he very well could, like he very well could. He's never started a game before in this league. He's been on the practice squad. If he falls on his face, you could see a scenario where Drew Locke starts week two, Jeff Driscoll starts week three, Brett Rippon starts week four, and Blake Bortles starts week five, and then unprecedented carousel that we've been living in and spinning on could actually spin faster than it's ever spun before.
Yeah, and certainly that's a realistic situation there. I could see that happen. I mean, we've seen Rippon throw the football, and it's better than Driscoll, I would say, but still, you know, young quarterback that's got a lot on his plate right now and dealing with a lot. So going up against Greg Williams' defense there, who will throw a lot at him. So hopefully he'll handle himself well and be able to handle the pressures and get rid of the football and not take bad sacks and not make bad decisions with the football. But you look at Rippon, and I think the way that he came in the game and the things he did on the one drive, yes, and obviously it's a different situation than when you're starting, but it's something to build off of, at least. And you're talking about Driscoll there, how they didn't even let him finish a whole game, you know, in his first start here, and they didn't even let him finish that game. And on top of that, the guy actually came in against Pittsburgh and played, I would say, good football that game against that Steelers defense.
Yes.
Brought the Broncos
yes.
back
yes.
and gave them an opportunity to win that football game late. And then they pulled the plug on him there in the third, fourth quarter, whenever it was. I mean, that just tells you how bad it was and how they viewed Jeff Driscoll as a quarterback. So that makes the likelihood of them ever going back to him even slimmer.
Yep. It was a 2-year deal for $5 million. It was $2.5 million guaranteed. So he got $2.5 million for six quarters, maybe something like that.
Not bad.
Not bad. No, no,
not bad at all, right?
No, it's a good day in the Driscoll household. I'm sure he'll sign somewhere else as a backup somewhere.
Ooh, I don't
maybe
know about that.
Maybe a third string.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I wouldn't be. I think his time in the NFL has probably come to a crossroads. This is probably going to be it for him.
Interesting.
Because he's done here. You know, does he have a quarterback coach that he played for with Detroit or with Cincy that might give him another opportunity? That'd be about it. But I could see this being Driscoll's last year here in the NFL, and that might be his last time ever playing. I don't believe he'll ever start again for anybody.
Wow, I feel like I want to say we've seen it all here.
I mean, the Broncos might just cut him here in a couple weeks,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
I mean, that could very easily happen. You just eat the money, cut him, move on. You know, it's like the Rockies when they're cutting these relievers and stuff, just like time to move on. Why are we even having him on our roster? Once Bortles gets up to speed, why are you going to have Driscoll?
Yeah.
You're going to go with Bortles over Driscoll, so why even have him on the roster? If you need a roster spot, you just cut him. Pay him the money. Thank you. Bye.
Take care.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just the way it works.
Just
you get an opportunity.
Works.
If you don't take advantage of it, you know, what do you want them to do? They're not just going to keep you around. So he had a great opportunity there, and unfortunately, he just didn't do enough with it.
I have here in our notes, it's the first time this season that the NFL is feeling the impact of COVID.
Yeah, how about that?
The NFL announced yesterday that 4 Titans players and 5 team personnel members tested positive for the coronavirus. Those who tested positive have been asymptomatic as of yesterday morning, according to Dan Graziano. The Titans have closed their facility until Saturday. From Diana Rossini this morning, Sunday's game between the Steelers and Titans is being postponed per multiple sources. They are considering all options to reschedule. Monday night is one of those options, Stoke. This will be all based on the test results.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I'm surprised that we've gone this long without some kind of little outbreak at all.
You speak for the both.
This just seems like it's a small one. Hopefully they get it controlled and, I hope that everything can stay on schedule as much as possible here, and they can get a game in Monday, maybe Tuesday, and hopefully it works out to where, you know, you don't want to, you know, if you play Tuesday, that makes that turnaround really quickly for Sunday.
Right.
But, you know, you do it all the time with Thursday night games.
That's
true. It kind of is what it is at this point. You're going to, you know, things like this will happen, and you're going to have to find ways to be creative, and certainly they're going to have to do that with the Titans and the Steelers, but hopefully they can play it on Monday night.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Monday night
yeah,
games.
Have a little doubleheader.
Yeah.
Something like that.
That's always great.
Love it. Love it. All right. We have.
This would be a pretty good football game too.
Pittsburgh, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Smash mouth, two hard nosed football teams. And,
I can't believe, that this past weekend, Tennessee pulled off that comeback in Minnesota.
I know.
Minnesota had that game won. It was what felt like a must-win game for the Minnesota Vikings starting 0-2. And there the Titans were in come-from-behind fashion going to 3-0. Crazy. And now Minnesota is 0-3 facing, you know who they're facing this week?
Who?
The Houston Texans, who are 0-3. Wow. So this feels like a lose and you go home type of game.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough to come back from 0-4.
Yeah.
And both those teams had playoff aspirations, obviously. I mean, Texans were in there last year, so was Minnesota. And,
crazy.
Both teams are 0-3 looking at 0-4. It can happen quickly in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, you lose a couple of those close games. I mean, the Titans could be sitting here at 1-2. You know, the first week, well, they could be 0-3, actually.
They could be.
You know, I mean, but they found ways to win football games late.
Yep.
We saw it against the Broncos.
Yep.
Didn't they do it? They did it against the Jags the next week.
They did.
In a close game. And they came from behind last week and held off the Minnesota Vikings. So you're looking at a team that just like that could be 0-3, and that's the NFL.
So
if they don't make the plays down the stretch in all three of those games, they don't make them, they're sitting there at 0-3. And now they're 3-0, and they're, you know, a great football team.
Stoke 3-0, and their combined winning margin is 6 total points.
Wow. Wow.
16-14 over the Broncos, 33-30 over the Jags, and 31-30 over the Vikings.
That's what good football teams do, though. You know, good football teams find ways to close games out, win games late, and the Tennessee Titans are a well-coached team, and they're a good football team.
Stoke, there's one player on this football team, on this Broncos football team, that has caused two of our hosts here to proclaim he's the best of his entire position group. Do we agree?
I'll
tell you who said what next.
Love Van Halen.
Stop.
It always gets you going right here.
This is one of my favorite songs. All right, there's one. Yeah, there you go. There you go. There's one player on this team that has caused two of our hosts here. And please don't text in about anything Van Halen related. Needling you guys.
No, stop.
There's one player on this team that has caused two of our hosts to proclaim he's the best at his position group. And if you said this maybe a month ago, it would have sounded crazy. Who am I talking about?
Wow. Okay. Best at his position group. And if we'd have said this a couple months ago, it would have been crazy. Oh, hey. GB Zone?
The GB Zone.
Yes, baby.
This is a conversation from yesterday on the drive. Through 3 weeks, Garrett Bowles. This is according to Pro Football Focus. 82.9. Fifth amongst all tackles. 86.8 pass blocking grade. Fifth. 75.7 run blocking grade. Career high so far. Garrett Bowles is in the zone.
GB Zone.
He's playing great.
I think that those grades are extremely generous. I think that Garrett Bowles is playing good football, and I got no problem whatsoever with giving the guy some credit when credit is due. He's been one of your best, probably actually your best offensive lineman this year, but no way is he grading out in the mid-80s for me.
Hey, listen, I'm just trying to say bright spot, and good for Garrett. Nobody is thinking, hey, we got to make a change of left tackle right now.
Nope.
So that's good.
Nope, definitely not.
I mean,
do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. Look, I don't think anybody's been more optimistic about Garrett Bowles on this radio station than me.
Oh, that I'll give you that part.
Right?
I will give you that.
I'm not ready to start patting myself on the back yet, though. It's only been three games.
Sure.
This thing can implode quickly.
Yeah.
We've seen it, you know, the hat trick in less than a minute.
It's been 3 years of this, and we have
right.
three good games,
That's
which
it.
Is awesome.
So, pump the brakes on it. We're not ready to crown him yet, but certainly he's been consistent, and he's done a good, solid job over there. He really has. And so we do need to give him credit. And I'm also the other person that had, the person that had said, hey, I wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos try to get an extension done with him. Like you kept saying, and not you, but a lot of people.
No, you can put it on me. This show, we've been going back and forth. If I'm going to give you heat for Noah and this and that, you can give me heat for Garrett.
What? Why'd you have to throw that in there?
Because you're down on Noah.
I'm not down on Noah.
You've been down on Noah.
No,
you're just crawling out of the grave.
I call it like it is with Noah. But when they didn't pick up the option, everybody assumed that, you know what, his time here is done. It's over with. And I said, no, pump your brakes on that. I could see a scenario where he goes out and plays solid football. He's not going to play special football. He plays solid football, and you say, all right, we want to reward him for that. And Garrett Bowles doesn't want to, you know, go through a whole season and hit free agency, and maybe at the end of the year he gets hurt, or, you know, you want the security of that contract. And so both parties can come together and find a common ground and get a deal done. And I still think that's a realistic possibility. You see everything going on with this offensive line. If Bowles continues to be consistent for the next 4 or 5 weeks, if you're the Denver Broncos, you'd probably want to go to him and try to get him locked up for a couple-year deal. And now you have Bowles, you have Reisner continuing to play next to each other for hopefully the next 3 or 4 years. And people laughed at me when I said it then.
Yeah.
But I'm saying it again, and I do think it's a realistic possibility. He's playing good, consistent football. And if he just wouldn't have done the King Kong Bundy body splash or yeah. whatever it is.
A frog splash.
The frog splash. The move he had was great when he hit the guy's hands down and kind of, you know, got him on the ground.
That was awesome.
Just don't splash the guy, yeah. and you won't get called for holding.
Yeah.
So he still has those moments. But overall, with all the things that we've been dealing with, we haven't had to discuss bad football play from Garrett Bowles or getting a quarterback hurt or 3 holding calls in the span of a minute. None of that. So
no.
Give him credit.
No, he deserves it, man. He deserves it for sure. And if, you know, we're going to be critical of him over the years, rightfully so, got to give him credit, even though it's after 3 games. Now, there is 2 penalties in the 3 games. That's not what you're looking for. But the substance on a down-to-down basis has been really good. How would you grade him out after 3 games? Not like a Pro Football Focus grade. You know, they get he's 86.9.
Right. I'll just give him a B.
Okay.
I think he's been good football, not great football. Like you said, yeah, he's had a couple penalties in there. It hasn't been perfect, but, you know, really.
Has he been the best offensive lineman?
Well, I don't sit there and study all of those guys. Obviously, he's been better than our right tackle. I think he's been better than our right guard. Been better than our center. I think it would come down to him and Reisner, but I'd give an edge right now to Garrett Bowles. I think overall, with what I've seen, he's been the more consistent of the two. So I'll give a slight edge to Bowles. I grade him out as a B. I mean, do you think he's been the best offensive lineman? And what would you grade him?
I do. I do think he's been the best offensive lineman. And I can't believe I'm saying that. But,
well, our right tackle position has been awful.
Disaster.
So, you know, you can just take that off the board. So it's not like the bar is really high.
No, it's not. But small victories for Garrett.
Absolutely.
Like, if after 3 games we're kind of like, yeah, he's like one of the best offensive linemen that we have, if not the best offensive lineman, given the narrative around him, not just the narrative. The narrative is based off reality. He's been not good enough for 3 years now. And we're not crowning him after 3 games, but given what we've seen for 3 years, given the Broncos didn't pick up his option, given that they were saying into a microphone that he was going to compete with Elijah Wilkinson for the left tackle spot, and now here we are after 3 games, we got to tip our cap to him. So, yeah, I think B is fair, and hopefully he can keep it up. And we're continuously having these conversations because I'll tell you what, you talk about a victory lap for yourself. If the Broncos do go to him during the year and try to get a deal done, and just check that off their list of things that they need moving forward, man, that would be a major victory. I'll give it to you. You called it if it comes to fruition.
Well, and I think the other thing to remember here is, especially if he keeps playing consistent, solid football, good football, you know, you don't want to have to go into the offseason with a big hole on the left side, you know, where that you have to feel. Phil, because if you do, guess what you have to do? You have to overpay in free agency.
Yep.
Or you have to overdraft a guy.
Yep.
In the first round, and a guy might not be there. So,
which is the exact scenario that I thought that they'd be in.
Right.
And they still could.
They still could. Obviously, they still could. But hopefully, hopefully you don't have that huge void. Now, you can still draft a tackle, right? I mean, that's fine, but you're not in dire need of a tackle. Like, we have to have a tackle.
Right.
So,
which is the position that John Elway was in when he drafted Garrett Bowles.
Right, right. Well, we had
Tyson Rahalo.
We had Ty. And Ty got bulked up that offseason, too, man.
Yeah, that's right.
He's looking great.
That's right.
So, you want to cross as many things off as possible. And certainly you look at this offensive line, you know, Cushenberry is going to be the center. Right guard's going to be Glasgow. Left guard's going to be Reisner. Yep. Right tackle is going to be Juwan James unless he retires or something or opts out again. And then, you know, left tackle, if you have Bowles, I mean, now you have some continuity and consistency with that group.
Oh, boy. Could it be the same group? Well, it's not the same group because Juwan isn't here.
Has Juwan ever been here?
No, 63 snaps. You know, I was going over some of the in the first hour yesterday. Going over what I think is sometimes a blind spot for Broncos country, because we talk about the missed quarterbacks, we talk about the empty draft classes, but when you have empty draft classes, you have to try to make up for it in trades and free agency. And for 4 years in a row here, the class of newcomers, non-rookie newcomers, have turned out to be just a disaster.
You know,
free agents and trades from Case Keenums and Joe Flacco's and Menelik Watson's and Jared Valdir's and Donald Stevenson's. And, you know, you just go down the list. Juwan James, Bryce Callahan a year ago, Theo Riddick. The list goes on and on and on. And when you examine
Mark Barron,
when you examine class by class of newcomers that are supposed to be filling the holes of missed drafts the year before or 2 years before that, it's been double whiffs, which is how you get to be 5-11, 6-10, 7-9, and, you know, maybe picking in the top five this year.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes it tough. And you have to overspend and, on guys that, you know, probably don't deserve the contracts that they get. I mean, look at Juwan James. You just had to overpay for him.
Yeah. Grant Glasgow.
You were in a bad, bad situation and you had to have one. So, but hopefully next year, you know, hopefully Juwan can come back and be on the football field and stay healthy. And if he does, you know, this guy is a good football player. And at the left tackle spot, if you got Bowles coming back, I mean, now you have the makeup of at least an offensive line that has been together, hopefully in the same offensive system, going to year two in that system. And now you can just draft and develop guys. That's when you become a good football team and you become a good offensive line, is when you have your group. And now you can just plug and play. You can be picky with if you want to draft somebody. You can be picky and choosy if you want to sign a free agent. So, and hopefully that's where the Broncos will be when it comes to the offensive line and when it comes to the draft. It'll free them up a lot more in the draft to where they don't have to take this offensive tackle in the first round. Maybe they can wait to the second or third round.
Okay. Here's a question that I will bounce off you here. Why would Garrett Bowles do a deal with the Broncos? If they came to him during the season, he's playing competent enough football and Pro Football Focus is grading him out this way, and John Elway comes to him. If I'm Garrett Bowles' agent, I'm saying, hang tight, continue to play good football, maybe a new start, higher, you know, bet on yourself, finish these last seven games or whatever it is. That would be my advice to him in a media and a fan base that has been really, you know, putting him through the ringer, you know, based off of bad football. But, you know, Garrett, they didn't pick up your fifth-year option. They had a chance to retain you.
Right.
Play good football for the next seven games, and I'm telling you, this is going to be generational wealth.
Well, I think, you know, it's easier said than done. When you're in that situation, I've been in that situation twice, where I was playing good football, and I signed both my deals with the same team in December. Once with the Indianapolis Colts, I had signed a 2-year deal there, and my second year there, I was going to be a free agent, and I ended up signing a deal with them that December. Same thing with the Broncos. Signed a 1-year deal with the Broncos, playing good football, and they came to me late in the season. This is late in the season, November, December. and with a contract that I thought was fair. And so I just took it. I think everybody's different. And I think especially when you're signing that first contract, like this would be his first contract signing after, you know, being drafted.
Well, and just to interject real quick.
Uh-huh.
His jumping off point for his rookie contract is a first round 20th overall. So that's a little bit different. And I know from a principal standpoint, you're making sense, but he's already made millions and millions of dollars.
Sure. Sure. But that first contract, you know, you don't want to be greedy. You don't want to be greedy, especially if it's a fair contract and you look at the situation and what could happen. What could happen? That's what I did. What could happen here in the next 3 or 4 weeks? I could get injured, right? I could rip my knee up. What happens if I rip my knee up right now, you know, in this game? And then, you know, I'm out all, you know, for another year. Am I going to get a good contract then? No. So if it's a fair contract and you haven't gotten that contract yet, now he's a first-round pick. But if it's a fair one, you just say, and on top of that, look, I love living here. Do you like the organization? Look, I loved, you know, living here, obviously, in Denver. So I'm like, this is where I want to stay. Fair contract. Perfect. Let's do it. Same thing in Indy. Loved Indy, right? And so it's a fair contract. They come to me in December. I could have waited 4 weeks and maybe hit the free agent market and made a little bit more money, but it wasn't worth the risk.
Sure.
Garrett Bowles, it could turn bad for him really quickly. And what happens if it does? What happens if he gets injured? What happens if he gets carted off this time and, you know, has to have surgery?
Yeah.
Now, what does free agency look like for you? It looks bleak.
Yeah.
And also, what happens if his play all of a sudden, you know, takes a nosedive for whatever reason? And I think as a player, you know, as an agent, you talk about those things and discuss it and just kind of see where you're at. But certainly I think, for the most part, if you're getting a good contract, you feel good about it, you like your situation, you like your team, you take that good contract, man. Just take it. Don't be greedy.
I like that. I like that. I'm looking at Garrett Bowles' career earnings. Now, he's made a lot of money,
sure,
right? His yearly or his career cash after this year looks like it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $11 million. Probably keeps, I don't know, 7.5 of that or whatever over the years.
Right.
Whatever. That's, you know, I'm looking at Graham Glasgow, you know, getting 25 guaranteed.
Right.
So he's made money, but in that universe that they exist in, hasn't quite yet truly hit pay dirt. So,
and even if look, I mean, that's a good point. Also, I know a lot of people are probably like, you know, they're just going to go with the whole narrative of Bowles stinks and why do we want him back? And just look around the NFL to begin with and, you know, serviceable tackles aren't easy to find. And if Garrett Bowles does continue to play like he's been playing and he hits the free agency market, somebody will pay him big bucks.
Sure.
Big bucks.
Sure.
You know, you look at Glasgow, guys like that, Juwan James, somebody's going to overpay for Garrett Bowles.
Yeah.
The need for offensive linemen is great out there.
And we don't have to look anywhere else but our own situation.
That's right.
And John Elway's been trying to fix the right side of this offensive line for years. We talk about, you know, starting quarterbacks coming and going. How about starting right tackles?
Yeah.
When's the last time a right tackle was the same starter week one year over year?
Don't know.
I mean.
Been a while.
A long, long time ago. Orlando? I mean, It's been a long time ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting. Interesting. I just never thought we'd be having this conversation. I thought he was a dead duck as a Bronco.
Right.
He's playing good football, competent football, not having back-breaking penalties. So we'll see if he can keep it up.
And it can come crashing down really quickly. Obviously, we know that. But at the same time, he's playing well right now. We got to give him credit, and we got to go off what we're seeing here and now. And players can improve. Players can get better. But certainly, if Bowles is gone and you have a big, huge void there at the left tackle, what are you going to do? Like, what are the Broncos going to do?
Yeah.
You know, what do you do? Because the draft, it has to fall right for you. You know, it fell right for them that 1 year. I mean, they had the pick of any of the tackles that they wanted at number 20 when Bowles got drafted. So, but what happens if you're picking, you know, third in the draft? And there's no premium tackles out there available that are worth the number three overall pick.
Yeah.
You're not going to take a tackle at three just to take a tackle at three.
Or if you got Justin Fields sitting there and you'd rather go that direction than take the tackle.
Certainly.
You're forced, you don't get multiple bites at that apple at the top of the draft. You got to pick one.
That's right.
So, you see Chad Kelly was released from the Colts practice squad?
I did see that. Yeah, he had a great opportunity here, and
it was never going to get better than it was here.
That's right. Never was, and it was a golden opportunity. And the NFL, and you're in Chad Kelly's shoes, and you only probably get one really good opportunity, if that. And he had it. He had a really good opportunity. He would have had seen. I don't know what he would have seen. Playing time.
Oh yeah. You
know, I don't know if it would have been significant playing time, but he would have got an opportunity to make an NFL career.
Yes.
And just like that.
Yes.
Halloween party, you go nuts, go crazy, and that's it. It's a wrap. Now, obviously you got a job with the Colts, but still, it, like you said, Zach, this was the best opportunity.
It really was.
He would have gotten playing time, like real playing time here. And that's all it takes for some guys. You get on the field, you start playing well, guess what? Now you have a 10-year career. But with Chad Kelly, the we'll-never-know thing stinks.
Yeah.
I was hoping to be able to see that guy because that's one of those guys that just has the it factor. You know, Vic talking about Brandon Allen last year, the it factor.
Yeah.
Well, Chad Kelly does. You know, every time he steps on the football field.
There's a spark there.
It is. And just it's gone because of bad decision-making off the football field.
I wonder if, given how big these practice squads can get now, and he plays the quarterback position, if he had another little hiccup of something that caused him to be released. Practice squads have never been bigger. That's the most premium position in the sport.
He's been there now. This is his second year.
Yeah.
It's a guy that you want on your practice squad. Why would you not keep him on your practice squad? Doesn't make sense. Yeah. Doesn't make sense at all. Something...
Maybe it wasn't a big thing. Maybe it's just a couple little things adding up. Like, no, we don't have to deal with this.
Yeah.
You coming late to a meeting or
something. Yeah, I can go there with you for sure. Because, like you said, practice squads are expanded, and he plays a quarterback position. Obviously, they got Phillip Rivers, Jacoby Brissett, but still,
yeah,
he's on the practice squad. Why wouldn't you want to keep him there just in case Phillip Rivers got hurt?
Yeah.
What happens if Phillip Rivers gets hurt? Now Brissett's the starter. Well, who's going to be the backup to him? I would assume do they have another quarterback on the roster also or not?
I don't know.
But I can go there with you that maybe he had a little bit of a hiccup.
Yeah, it could be. It really could be. You know what it
says? What could have been here, though? What could have been?
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
I don't know if he would have been the guy here moving forward.
Probably not. But wouldn't it have been fun to watch him this past weekend instead of Jeff Driscoll?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
This weekend or tomorrow night instead of Mark Rippon's nephew? Next week instead of Blake Bortles, maybe?
Yeah, Jacob. I would think about this game differently.
Yeah, yeah.
If coming up tomorrow night if Chad Kelly was a quarterback over Brett Rippon.
Yeah. Yep, Jacob Eason's the third quarterback there.
Kid from Washington, Georgia.
Yes. I think it's Washington.
Yeah. I think he started at Georgia, maybe, and then transferred to Washington.
Okay.
Don't know for sure, but that's just popped in my head.
You know what it says on the bottom of Chad Kelly's shoe?
Uh-oh.
Andy.
Oh.
Oh. All right. We have somehow.
Love Toy Story.
Somehow, some way, I have breaking Broncos news. That newsflash, it ain't good.
Oh.
Details next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.